This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Welcome back everyone for this episode of Boys to Men. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Last time we covered one of the main things in our deen, which is tahara, and the main things in tahara, wudu. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we actually explained wudu in detail. For those of you that didn't listen to the last episode, you can go ahead and listen to that, inshallah, it's recorded. And we said that tahara is shatr al-iman, half of iman, half of faith is purification, is cleanliness, is hygiene. So if it's half of the deen, how much exactly was it emphasized in this deen? Today, inshallah, we're going to discuss that. We spoke about wudu, and today we're going to talk about the rest of hygiene, inshallah ta'ala. So we spoke about what makes it, so today we're going to speak about what breaks it. Yes, certain things break wudu. What breaks wudu? That's what we're going to talk about today. So there are a few things that do break wudu. The first is whatever exits from the front or from the back. By the way, there's no shyness. This is the deen. We're talking about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we talk about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it governs everything from how we use the bathroom all the way till how we run a whole country. Everything in between is the deen of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a prescribed method of living in the best possible fashion we can live, subhanallah. Allah did not leave us abathan, just to live and discover things on our own, but gave us a method, a way. And not only that, but sent us a man that successfully implemented everything that he revealed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this man, who was Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed us how to implement it, and he proved to us that if we do implement it, then we will be great, upright people, remembered in history, and in the dunya and in the akhirah with good. Just like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person can deny God as much as they want, but can they deny the impact Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam had on the world by following the book of Allah, by following the commands of Allah? No one can deny that. And that's why it still is the fastest growing religion. Billions of people follow it and followed it for the past 14 centuries. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa kafa billahi shahida. So the first thing that breaks wudu is whatever comes out from the front and from the back private parts. Anything that comes out. So both of them break the wudu. The second thing is falling asleep. And I'm talking about falling asleep, right? Not sleeping lightly. Sleeping heavily, what constitutes sleeping heavily is like perhaps laying down, snoring, or doing something of that sort. That completely breaks it. The third thing is غياب العقل, when your mind is absent. And that happens obviously when people drink alcohol or they have a drug, maybe it's a prescribed drug even. It doesn't have to be like haram drugs, you know, maybe somebody does weed or marijuana, whatever it is. No, of course that breaks the wudu, but maybe someone was prescribed certain drugs by a pharmacist, and when they took the drugs, they felt high and they weren't in their correct state of mind. That also breaks the wudu. Sometimes people have like epileptic seizures and whatnot, nasallahu al-afiyah, may Allah protect us. But when they do have that, that breaks the wudu as well. Sometimes people are like bipolar, or all these types of sicknesses where a person is not in their state of mind, or they're not sane, they lost their mind for a short period of time, then that what breaks the wudu. Okay? The next thing that breaks the wudu, and some of you can actually, This is something that the Prophet ﷺ left for us to decide, like bleeding excessively. So when someone bleeds, if you feel that it's a lot of blood that's coming out, then it breaks the wudu. Of course, with exception, this is according to the opinion of many, many scholars. Yeah, and in the past, if you bleed excessively, then you break your wudu. And what excessively means is what you feel is excessive, if you know what I mean. So if you feel like it's just a little blood, you can wipe it off, then it doesn't. But if for example, you're playing ball, you get scratched, some blood comes out, you wipe it, it doesn't break your wudu, you can still run to the masjid or go and make your salah. Just wipe it off. Don't have that blood on you. But if you bleed excessively, then you definitely broke your wudu. And the last one is it's not agreed upon by all the scholars, but there is a hadith about it. Camel meat, eating camel meat. I know there is no camel meat here in America, but there is like in Saudi Arabia and in other countries, like in the Middle East and Africa, they have camels. So when they eat them, they have to make wudu again. And there's an authentic hadith, but not all the scholars agree on the authenticity perhaps of the hadith or the obligation of making wudu because of this hadith. So regardless, you just do wudu just in case if you eat camel meat. I know it's a delicacy here. Some company here in California opened recently, and I don't know how recent it was, but they said they sell camel meat. It's very expensive, so it's like a delicacy. People buy it. I don't know. It doesn't taste that special. I ate camel meat plenty of times. It tastes like an oversized cow, It's nothing different. But if you decide to eat camel meat, then just make wudu again. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So that's for what breaks the wudu. By the way, if you have any questions, just comment on the video, and inshallah, I'll try to address them the next episode. So please comment if you have any questions, inshallah ta'ala, and I will try my best to address them. The next, how we use the bathroom. And by the way, I said there's no shyness in the deen, okay? The way we use the bathroom. Now you grow up, you're an adolescent, you're starting to think, you're starting to understand soon, or if it didn't already happen, you're going to be an adult, you're going to go through puberty, certain changes are going to happen to you, and we're going to talk about them, inshallah, in a little bit. But when you get to this age, you should start sitting down when you use the bathroom. And I'm talking to the boys here. You shouldn't use it when you're standing up. Try to sit down, because when you stand up, of course, unless sitting is going to dirty you even more than standing up, but when you sit down, it's less likely for najasa, for the urine to splash on you. And when it does, it means that you have to wash it so that it can become pure and you can pray with it. Because if you have urine on you, you cannot pray with it. Someone that's carrying impurity with them, whether it's urine, feces, something, anything of that, any of the impurities, then you cannot pray with it. It has to be washed off. Okay? The majority of ulama say you have to wash it once. So let's say just wash it once. Some say wash it three times. But try to wash it. Definitely wash it. Make sure you don't pray with it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before you pray, you want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the purest form. Okay, you want your body to be clean, your mind to be clean, your heart to be clean. Everything has to be facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a clean way. And don't forget that you're meeting your Lord. Every salah is a private meeting between you and your Lord. So show your Lord that you care about yourself. And show your Lord that half of your iman is complete by keeping high hygiene, by keeping yourself clean. Okay? The next thing is having an intention when we do all this, right? Obviously, when you're using the bathroom and we say it's better to sit down than to stand up so you can stay clean, have the intention that you're doing it for Allah. You might be used to it. Maybe you always sit down. But from now on, have the intention that you're doing it for the sake of Allah so that you can complete your iman. Why? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, actions are by their intentions, and for everyone is what they intended. So if your intention was to please Allah by sitting down, and your intention was to stay pure so that when you meet Allah, you meet Allah in the purest garments, then you will be rewarded for this. You'll be rewarded for it. But if you don't have the intention, maybe it's just something habitual for you, then you don't get that. You get the purity, of course, and the cleanliness and the hygiene, but you don't get the reward and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So have the intention that you're doing all of this for the sake of Allah. And keep that in the back of your mind. Where do we use the bathroom? I know this is a very interesting question. You know, sometimes we're in the woods. I know some guys, we go out camping, or sometimes we go on long distance drives, and we have to pull over and use the bathroom. There are some guidelines we have to follow when we do this. Yes, the Sharia taught us guidelines to how we use the bathroom depending on what situation we're in and where we're at. So let's say you're outside, right, in the forest. You're camping out, there's no bathrooms, you walk to find a place to use the bathroom. There are a few guidelines you should follow. Number one, it shouldn't be on a path where people walk. Okay. Number two, you shouldn't sit down or stand up facing the Qibla. Okay, so you got to know where the Qibla is. That's if you know, inshallah. Inshallah, you do know. Of course, if you don't know, then it's okay. But if you do know where the Qibla is, then don't face the Qibla. Try to do it sideways. Okay? And don't let the Qibla be behind you either. Just try to change your orientation. Yes, that's in the deen. The next thing is, do not go to the bathroom or use it under a tree that has fruits, like a tree that people sit under normally, that people use for shade on the side of a road. People often go up and pick. It has apples, it has pears, it has something on it that people pick. Do not, it's haram to use it under a tree like that. Yes, that's all in the deen, guys. It's probably the first time you heard it, but this is all in the fiqh of Islam. Alhamdulillah, for a complete hygiene emphasizing deen. Like I said in the last episode, there is no religion in the world that emphasized hygiene like Islam. So don't be surprised when you hear details like this, because these details show us how hygienic our deen is. Alhamdulillah. Now they're telling us to keep washing our hands over and over again. Alhamdulillah, we already do it. And by the way, don't wash your hands, for those out there that are washing their hands just for the sake of washing their hands, wash your hands and have the intention that you're doing it for the sake of Allah. Because every time you do it, you're getting ajr for it. But if you're washing it to protect yourself from the virus, then you'll get that, inshallah, but you won't get the reward. But if you have the intention that it's for Allah, you'll protect yourself from the virus, and you'll get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't forget the intention. It's very, very important. So when we get to this age, we start noticing changes in our bodies, right? We start getting pimples first. We start growing. Sometimes some people, their one foot grows faster than another, one leg, one arm. Some people, their arms grow faster than their legs, or their legs grow faster. They look, boys start to look a little interesting in this age. And that's because they're growing. They have a lot of hormones running through their bodies and things are changing. But there are things that you have to pay attention to. Okay? Like what? When your armpits start having hair, you start growing hair in these places, in the armpits and the private part. When you start having hair in the armpit or the private part, then that's one of the major signs of you reaching puberty. That's one of the major signs. Okay? And the last and final sign, and I want you to listen to this, is having a dream or something where that makes something come out of your private part other than urine. Okay? So I don't want to go past that, but you all know, inshallah, what I'm talking about. When this happens, then you officially reach the age of puberty. Okay? So you guys got to Watch out for this. Because when this happens, this is when everything becomes obligatory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that moment on is going to hold you accountable for things. For things that you do wrong, that you do right, that you don't do at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold you accountable for all of them. So I want you to just pay attention. And there are ways to deal with this. Inshallah, we're going to talk about that. So when you have hair on your armpits and you have hair on your private part, what are you supposed to do? Obviously, it's part of Islamic hygiene to do what we call the acts of fitrah, natural disposition. Like, in order to be in natural disposition, fitrah, you have to do these things. What are they? And these things are always mentioned in the book of purification, the chapter of tahara or purification in all books of Islam. Just to show you how, and the book of purification is the first chapter in every fiqh book. There's no fiqh book, at least that I know of, that begins with other than tahara, purification. Because purification is the base of everything. And that, once again, re-emphasizes how important purification and cleanliness is in Islam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So this was mentioned. What do we do with the hair in our armpits? Or on our private parts? So, the Prophet ﷺ used to pluck it. And I remember when I first heard this, I was like 19. And yeah, I was young. Because before that I didn't really have, like when I was 18 or so, I didn't really have hair over there. But when I first heard about plucking the hair, I was like, I think I was 19 years old. And I heard the Prophet ﷺ used to pull it out and not shave it. And I was like, Allahu Akbar, that must have been hard. So I went and I tried to do it and I said, oh man, that's so painful. How'd they do it? They must have been strong, you know, to do it with all their hair and do it every 40 days because that's how often we have to do it, every 40 days. Anything more than 40 days, we're actually held sinful for it. So pay attention. That number 40 is very, very important. Okay, so you can make it a habit every 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But if it passes 40 days, then you actually accumulate sin. And we don't want to do that, right? So the Prophet ﷺ used to pull it out. And then I found out how they used to do it. They used to actually go train with the swords. And they used to sweat a lot. And when they sweat, obviously the pores open. And when the pores open, they used to pull the hair out. And it wasn't painful. And I tried that and it really wasn't painful. But alhamdulillah, you know, you don't have to pull it out. You can shave it. And that's what we do, right? And it's much more convenient to just shave it. So you can go ahead and shave it. Buy some Schick, Gillette or something. Schick or Gillette. Yeah, those are two big companies. And you can shave your armpit and your private part with that. But make sure it doesn't pass 40 days. And this is very important. I know this is stuff that like parents or friends often feel shy to talk about, but there's no shyness in the deen. There's no shyness. This is the religion of Islam. This is how you keep yourself pure. So please, please keep the number in mind, 40 days. Anything past that, you'll be held accountable for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you pass the age of puberty, you are going to be asked. Another thing is brushing teeth. You know, sometimes in this age as well, like our odors in general, we start smelling a little funky. So, like we start sweating a little bit more than we were used to, or we were used to when we were younger than that. But alhamdulillah, you have to be hygienic, and you get ejed for this, by the way. Go buy some Old Spice, buy some Gillette deodorant, and bismillah, you know, use it all the time. Keep yourself smelling good. Do not be seen smelling bad. The Prophet ﷺ used to love tib. One of the things he loved, the Prophet ﷺ said, one of the things I love in this dunya is tib, is what? Good smells. Good like perfumes, colognes and whatnot. Not colognes, because they had ouds, like oils. So the Prophet ﷺ loved beautiful scent. So don't you want the Prophet ﷺ to love the way you smell? Smell good and have the intention. Don't forget what I mentioned before. Don't have the incorrect intention. When you put some deodorant on, when you spray some cologne on, Do it for the sake of Allah. Don't do it so some people could smell you and be like, oh, mashallah, you're smelling very good. I like how you smell this, that, or get compliments from you people for the wrong reasons. Do not do that. Have the right intention. You're racking up on good deeds. So don't waste your time with this, okay? Only do it for Allah, because it's all going to be on your skills in the Day of Judgment. And like we said in the beginning and in the last episode, it's half of Iman, Shatr al-Iman. So go grab yourself some Gillette, grab yourself some good deodorant, and keep yourself smelling good. Buy a nice cologne and get used to spraying it, because guess what? You're only going to sweat more, and your odor is going to change, and you're going to be all funky and everything. Make sure you're smelling nice, and do it for the sake of Allah. You also have to start brushing your teeth more often. Probably, you know, when kids are young, if they weren't of the habit to brush their teeth, when you get to this age, you have to, because your mouth odor is going to change as well. So make it a habit to brush your teeth two or three times. Alhamdulillah, you know, when doctors tell us about brushing teeth, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if it weren't hard on people, I would have ordered them to brush their teeth before every salah, meaning part of wudu. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to make brushing the teeth part of wudu itself. That's how Islam emphasizes hygiene. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ knew that some people might have difficulty with this, so he said, it's a matter that you get ajr for, do it for the sake of Allah, and you'll get reward for it. It's not part of wudu, alhamdulillah, because it would have been a hardship. But it shows you how important it is to brush your teeth. Imagine 5 times a day, the Prophet ﷺ brushed his teeth 5 times a day. And now we have toothpaste and whatnot. Back then they didn't have toothpaste. But I remember when I lived in Medina, there were two types of miswak. There was a regular miswak, which is the bland one, and then there was Abu Hanash. It was the one they called Abu Hanash. So Abu Hanash, everybody liked Abu Hanash. I'm like, what is this Abu Hanash? It's very, very spicy. It makes the mouth burn. And it turns out it's like this menthol taste, right? It doesn't have a taste, but it makes the gums burn after, and it feels very good. There's like this nice sensation to it. So like it was their form of, like, let's say, toothpaste. So the Prophet ﷺ used to use miswak before every salah. And one more thing. Actually, one more thing. Let's just do one more. Cutting the nails. So in this age, our nails start to grow a little faster than usual. We should have been cutting our nails. You should not be biting your nails off. Those who have the habit, it's a very bad habit to bite your nails. Because, guys, honestly speaking, that's where all that bacteria rests. If you keep biting your nails, you're just going to get sick. Your immunity is going to get low, and not too good things are going to enter your system. So don't even do that. The Prophet ﷺ said this is part of the fitrah, cutting your nails, your toenails and your fingernails. Make sure they're always cut. Smell fresh. Have deodorant, cologne on. Okay, trim your hair. Don't have hair all over the place. Shave up and look clean and look fresh, because you know who you're doing it for. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anyone else. Right? And last thing we spoke about, we spoke about the hair growing from the three places, from here, here, and then from the private part. But we didn't speak about the next sign of puberty, right? Which is having a dream or being stimulated to a point where something other than urine comes out of the private part. This is a very, very important subject, by the way. So we're going to cover it next time, inshallah. We're going to speak about ghusl. What is ghusl? How important it is? How do we do it? And run through a few other things, inshallah. Stay tuned, because these episodes are very important. We're going to get, like, in depth in the next episode, guys. Like, if you thought this was deep, stay tuned, because next time, inshallah, which is every Monday and Wednesday, we're going to go all in. So, Jazakumullah khair for tuning in today. And if you have any question, Like I said before, please leave it in the comments section. I will try to address it in the next episode. Jazakum Allah khair. Salaam alaikum.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.